Let's pray, and then we'll jump into our text today. Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we look into your word today. I thank you, Father, it speaks still. Lord, what happened long ago is relevant to us now. God, would you give us wisdom and insight? Help us, Lord, not to just take in, but to live it out. We thank you for the good news that your word has. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, you've probably been hearing as you've gone to the store, and thankfully I haven't had to go to too many stores lately, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I actually read it's like the best-selling Christmas song ever. And I've always dreamed of a white Christmas. About 10 years ago, we were going to be in Ohio for Christmas. I was so excited because they usually have one. Well, guess what happened? Western Washington got one, and it was dry as a bone in Ohio. I was so disappointed. This week, I started to read about dreams, and I was shocked. I've read the nativity story in Luke and in Matthew 1 and 2, I don't know how many dozen times, but suddenly I was like, wow, there's a lot of dreams in that story. Why didn't I ever see that before? And the more I read, the more incredible it began to seem, because almost all of those dreams are directly tied into a prophecy from Scripture early on. You may have seen that before, but it was like a lightning bolt for me. And I got, wow, because Joseph actually has four dreams. The wise men have a dream. Then you've got angelic appearances to Mary and Zechariah and the shepherds. It was really incredible. Well, of course, the main player in the story of Christmas are not Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and everyone else. Of course, it is Jesus. And God is getting things ready and set so that when Jesus comes, his plan is going to unfold according to plan. And how is he going to do that? He is going to use dreams. Dreams are a fascinating thing. Scientists understand it's kind of the nervous system's way of working details out, and our subconscious kind of kicks in. And during dreams, our brain needs time to talk to itself and sort things out. It kind of tries to make sense of what's gone on during the day, what we've seen, what we've felt, what we've experienced. And when we're unconscious, what's there kind of bubbles up. And I occasionally will have a dream where I'm getting bit by a snake, and Kim knows it because I suddenly do what? Yeah. Thankfully, I don't karate chop the snake, but I certainly holler. And, I'm sure people in the Old Testament, in the scriptures had strange dreams as well. You know, the type where you show up for Hebrew school and you forgot there was a test, or you're wandering through the marketplace haggling over the price of fish and suddenly you realize you have no clothes on. I'm sure they had those kind of dreams too, but those aren't the ones that are recorded in scripture, though they were normal people. But dreams in Scripture are an angel of the Lord, God himself basically showing up and giving people his word and saying, this is what I want you to do. The good thing is, especially in the Christmas story, when people receive dreams, they actually act on them. This is what I'm to do? Okay, boom, I'm there. Well, the Greek word for dream in Matthew 1 and 2, it was commonly used, and it had to do with kind of a vision seen in sleep. Pilate's wife ended up having one at the end of Matthew where she'd had a dream or a vision, and she warned Pilate, listen, don't touch this man, don't deal with him. But he didn't listen. Well, through these night dreams, we're going to see the Magi. They are going to respond. They're going to go, we should not go back to see Herod. We're going to go the other way. Joseph's going to be guided to take Mary as his wife. Later, he's going to be guided to leave town, go to Egypt. Then he's going to be told, okay, it's time to go back to Egypt. Then he's going to, or to Israel. And then he's going to be told, oh, don't go to Bethlehem. Go to the region of Galilee up near Nazareth. Well, we're going to take a look at these dreams in Matthew 1 and 2. And through all of them, we're going to see God's plan unfold, his plan unfold. The first dream we find is in Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Because now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. All this All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she'd given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Fascinating. Dream one. They're betrothed. Culturally, they're as good as married, but they're not living together and they're not sleeping together. And suddenly he finds out she's pregnant. Well, he knows he didn't do it. Must have been somebody else, you know, and there's not been a virgin birth before or since. So what's going on? There has to be a human father. And so he prepares to divorce her, but he's a good man. He doesn't want to make a scene. He's getting ready to take action. Boom. Dream happens. The angel is saying, listen, Joseph, it's okay. She did nothing wrong. Take her home. Be your lawfully wedded husband. Continue on with what we said. And that he does. And you know what? You never, ever hear again of him having a question. Did she really have this amazing experience or what? No. He responds to the dream and it works out okay. It's interesting that God is working so that Jesus will have a whole family. He won't be raised by a single mom, and Joseph doesn't take off. And because this family unit is going to be essential to this whole plan coming together. Meanwhile, of course, we know that they traveled to Bethlehem because of the census called by the Caesar, and it's in the days of Herod. And then we get to dream number two, the wise men. Well, these wise men, they visit Herod. They've been guided by the star. They've traveled hundreds of miles. And they say to him, where is he who's born king of the Jews? We saw his star. We've come to worship him. Well, the king hears this, and we know he's troubled. He's the kind of guy who's killed many family members, let alone non-family members, in order to keep his kingship. And he probes them with questions. Now, when did you hear about this child? What is going on? I want to know the facts. And he says, tell me what? When you find him, come back, tell me. I want to worship the child. When really he's lying through his teeth, he wants to kill any threat to his kingdom or what he thinks might be a threat. So they leave, and in Matthew 2, 10 to 12, they say, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw Mary with his mother, and they worshiped him. And we know they brought them gifts. But then verse 12, it says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The wise men were basically told, don't go back that way. I don't know if the wise men had details, so if they knew what Herod was thinking, maybe they'd heard stories about him. But nevertheless, what do? When the angel, when the dream is told them, go that way instead of this way, that they do. You know, and it's certain that Jesus would have been hunted down. What would that have done for the Messiah and Savior of the world? God is working his plan. So he's getting people in places and protecting his son so that salvation can come. Well, then we have dream number three right after that in Matthew 2, 13 to 15. It says, now when they departed, that's the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in another dream. Sounds like all this guy does is sleep, but anyway. He says, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. And then he says, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. What's Joseph do? Immediately, he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. I'm assuming Joseph wasn't taking a nap during the day. This was at night. And boom, up he goes. Let's go. We got to go. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Very similar. He is told Herod is up to no good. He's going to try to kill Jesus. You've got to get going. And so they flee, and it was probably 75 miles to the border of Egypt. Maybe it was farther, and then they probably kept going a little bit farther to reach safety. And they said, remain there till I tell you. That must have been a difficult thing. I've lived in other countries, and though I love part of it, there was nothing like knowing you're coming home, whether it be for a visit or a long time. And Joseph might have been wanting to get back, but he obeyed God. Well, here we have dream number four. Again, Herod dies and says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And it was saying, rise, take the child and mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Once again, God is directing Joseph. Take Mary to be your wife. Skip town quick. Get to Egypt. Okay, Herod's dead. Come on back. And then dream five comes about. Matthew 22:22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he lived and went to a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Herod's son Archelaus, after Herod died, his kingdom was divided among Herod's three sons. And Archelaus was a bad one. He was violent, he was cruel, he was awful, and it was not a good thing to be in his territory. In fact, he was so bad, it wasn't but a few years later that the Romans removed him from his position. He was creating too many problems. So, you know, I'm guessing Joseph is starting to be on his way back to Israel, and he's getting the word, oh, Archelaus is now in place. Oh, no, not that son. And the Lord gives him a dream. He responds again. But it's so fascinating because he sent Nazareth. And that was the northern part of Israel. It was going to be a safe place for Jesus at the time. We're going to see that God is at work, protecting Jesus as well as fulfilling prophecy. And God still works through dreams and visions. I've heard of many, many Muslims through the Middle East who are having dreams and visions. I've met a former Muslim. Kim and I talked to him. So, well, how in the world did you end up here? It was in Portland. I had a vision of Jesus, and I put my faith and trust in him. So God can do those things anytime he wants. But, you know, most of the time, God directs us through his word these days. He's given his word for instruction. That's not to say he can't otherwise, but if you do hear it otherwise, you better confirm with the source book. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but God can direct your path. And he also says, your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But God is working with his plan. You see, thankfully, Mary and Joseph, thankfully the wise men, when they heard of God's plan, when they were given his directions, they obeyed. And it worked out how God wanted it to. And we can learn so much from Joseph. We're not going to spend a ton of time on Joseph today, but boy, he's quick to obey. He's respectful. He's responsive. He's also realistic. He was afraid of Archelaus, and that was a good thing to be afraid of. And he's also righteous. That's why God chose him in the first place. He is an example of someone who's attuned to God's plan and wants to join with them. The next thing we see, though, is God's purpose. The whole reason God is sending his son is because we need a Savior. And that's what he said. That's what he told Mary from the beginning. He will save his people from their sins. And that's what the shepherds were told. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, or unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior. Later on, the Apostle John wrote, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father through me. Later, Paul would write in Acts, you know, there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. So God's plan was orchestrating people, getting them in the right place, and his purpose was to send his son to be our Savior. Well, the next thing is we're going to look at his promises, God's promises, and he's actually answering and fulfilling a whole lot of prophecy. Several thousand years before this even happened, God had said, I'm going to send someone to deal with your sin problem. Way back, just after the fall in the Garden of Eden, he said, I'm going to send a deliverer who's going to deal a fatal blow to Satan and sin and death. And it took time, but God was working out his plan, and he called Abraham, and he called others, and you're going to be my people, and eventually I'm going to send a Savior to this group of people. And finally, the Messiah comes. And God is using dreams to make it happen. Well, the first dream is you look that he kept Mary from being a single mom and Jesus a fatherless child. And it's so fascinating because we read in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. God was working to create this family unit. Yes, Jesus is born of a virgin, but he wasn't going to be raised in a single-parent home. And if Jesus was just the son of a person or son of Joseph, then he wouldn't be perfect, and the prophecy wouldn't have come to pass. He would have been an imposter. Well, and the wise men, what happens there with their dream? They changed the plan of Herod. Herod wanted to kill one child, but instead he would kill many. This was not a good, happy end in the sense of what the mothers of Bethlehem faced. But we know that after he realized the wise men weren't coming back, he was ticked. He was furious, and he was determined to stamp out this child, whoever and wherever he was. And so he ordered, he sent, and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem who were 2 years and under. But you know what? This fulfilled in Jeremiah 31. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. I'm not saying that I think God wanted this to happen. That would have been tragic and horrible, whether there were 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 children. But God knew what was going to happen, and he made it clear. And then when it happened, people could look back and say, yes, God was on the throne. He knew what he was doing. Well, dream number three, Joseph has said, okay, go to Egypt. Well, guess what? It's later said, out of Egypt I will call my son. And that was a prophecy of Hosea. Historically, there's kind of like two things going on here, because in many ways, Israel was considered God's son and God's people, and so he was bringing them out of Egypt during the Exodus. But it's also Hosea was giving a prophecy. And so very much, not only were the people of Israel let out, but specifically he was referring to the Messiah as well. He would bring him out according to a dream. And that's where we find dream four and five. And these dreams are really similar. So after Herod dies, there's another dream. Okay, it's time to go to Israel. He's calling his son out. But there's the problem, of course. Archelaus is there. And so he's warned in the second dream, don't watch out for him. Go to the region of Nazareth. Well, Matthew says, to fulfill the prophecy, the scripture, that he would be called a Nazarene. But if you look in the Old Testament, you're not going to find anything about Nazareth. So how is that fulfilling a prophecy? Well, what we know is that Nazareth was not known as a great place. Kind of a mixed population, uneducated, backward. It was, you know, I think it was Philip, or maybe it was Nathaniel. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What are you talking about? It was not the kind of place you wanted to be from. I won't pick on any local cities that we say that, but this one's safe. Portland, how can you be from Portland? I don't know, or depending on who you are. I mean, can anything good come from there, you know, or whatever the case may be? And Nazareth had a bad reputation. And some scholars think, you know, maybe because Jesus was said to be despised and rejected in Isaiah 53, maybe he was put down because he was from Nazareth. But what we do know is God was working. He wanted him there, and he was protecting him from the evil king. You know, none of these details were unplanned or unexpected. God was in charge of him. And God's plan came at the fullness of time. His purpose was to send a Savior. And God was keeping his promises. I love 2 Peter 3. It says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that is true. God does say, I have sent my son to save, and you will have a sin problem, and I've come to deal with it. We can either die in our sins, or we can say, thank you, Lord, for dying for mine. And the offer's extended. And I think he's really saying, are you going to let Christ interrupt your life? How will you respond to this offer? We all have Christmas dreams. You know, maybe for you is the perfect Christmas tree. Well, Kyle and I went up into the woods, and it's an okay one, but it's certainly not perfect. And better than it could have been. You know, maybe your perfect Christmas is all the families together, and everyone gets along, even Aunt Edna or whatever the case might be. You know, maybe it's safe travels. Maybe it's Happy New Year. Maybe it's the gift you're hoping is coming. I don't know. What is your Christmas dream? I hope that Christ is central in it. You know, sometimes Christmas dreams can be disappointed. I know I've traveled with my family at times and like, oh, my hopes are high, and then they're dashed again. But yet I keep on, I'm the eternal optimist on that, and it always falls short. But you know, when it comes to Christ, if Christ is your central dream, you will not be disappointed. It can be the best Christmas ever. Ultimately, my dreams are not for snow, though I'd love to have some. I looked at the last I looked, it's not going to happen here. You know, I would dream, my hope would be I could get past the familiarity of the story and it would strike me new. Like Mary, I want to ponder things in my heart. I hope that like Zechariah, I can be speechless. Oh, wow, what just happened? I hope like Joseph, I'm obedient to do what is revealed. You know, I'm dreaming of the spirit of the first Christmas. Shocked that God would become man, that he would come to take my place. I'm dreaming of a Christmas where God's love amazes me again. I hope, I want it for me, and I hope it's for you as well. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you were at work in these dreams, that people responded. And I thank you, Lord, you still are speaking. I pray, though it may not be in dream or vision here today, that you would speak to everyone here and that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are real and that you sent your Son to be their Savior as well. Thank you, God, that in our frailty and our sinfulness and the things we do wrong, you still came to welcome us into your forever family. And we give you thanks. We read in 1 John, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. I pray your Christmas dreams will come true.